Chapter 8. Davon eyed Caravan Master Dales warily. The man was impossibly large, with tanned, hairy forearms roped with muscle. Davon's head inched above most men he knew, but Dales stood nearly a head taller. The Caravan Master never wore a coat, no matter what the weather, and he never took his round, worn leather hat off of his head. Even worse, he drank hard and swore hard, and everyone, including the cold Curric Masterson, feared him. Luckily, Dales paid little attention to anyone but Curric, and Davon did his best to avoid the brute, who stared at everyone as if he wanted to kick them to death and roast them on a spit.
"I think it's early to send a caravan that far north, Dales," Curric argued in the front room. "One more shipment to Longford, and then we'll send the next to the ice mines."
A splat indicated that Dales had spit his wad of tobacco on the floorboards. One of Davon's clerking duties was to clean up pecan shells and Dales's spit. The more irritated Dales became, the more he spat, so Davon hoped the argument would be short.
"I'm going to the ice mines. That's final, Curric. You get the goods ready and get them permits."
"But..." Spit.
"Shut your head, Curric. Just do what I tell you."
The outside door opened and then shut with enough force to rattle the windows. The room where Davon worked had a new window installed that looked out on a dreary street. When Curric found that his new clerk could do the carpentry work himself, he gladly paid the least amount possible for the materials. While the window's size wasn't generous and the view uninspiring, Davon was thankful it existed. It reminded him that there was a world outside the Boot and Wheel Caravan Company.
"Harper!"
Curric yelled. Davon sighed. The second part of any argument with Dales was Curric taking his frustration with Dales out on someone that couldn't crush his skull with a single blow.
"Get in here and clean this mess up. And I need those travel permit requests changed to the ice mines, and I need them yesterday. You understand? I've got to go to the permit office today."
"Yes, Mr. Masterson."
Davon scooted his chair back and went to fetch some rags and water, noticing Curric sipping from his flask, no doubt to calm his nerves. The first Aid Society shipment of the year was leaving in 2 days, and Davon's unpleasant employer seemed unusually nervous about it. The society had been formed by a collection of well-meaning nobles who contributed money monthly so that the Boot and Wheel Caravan Company could gather food and supplies to take to the poor and unfortunate of Bittermarch. This arrangement had persisted exclusively with the Boot and Wheel Caravan Company for years, and that is why Davon first suspected something was amiss. Why would a group of nobles entrust the lowliest and seediest of the available caravan companies with its wealth? Curric was flat out the worst salesperson Davon had ever run across, his brash manner so offensive and intimidating that he couldn't sell fire to a naked man in the winter. People used the Boot and Wheel Caravan Company for 2 reasons. They needed something hauled cheaply, or they needed something hauled clandestinely. Davon realized that it wasn't an act of kindness that prompted Curric to graciously offer to secure trip permits instead of sending his clerk. Curric did the job himself when he needed to head to Crooks to get trip permits from a forger. A perusal of the company's records during his first week of work showed that the Aid Society had sent the Boot and Wheel Caravan Company to deliver at least one shipment a year to his beloved Frostborn. Even more amusing, there were signatures of receipt from Saunders, with handwriting nothing like his steward's. And after some inquiries in town and a bit of time in the ledgers, it didn't take much puzzling to understand why the 2 previous clerks had mysteriously gone missing either. While the numbers in the ledgers all added up neatly, there were marks and corrections that Davon suspected had more to do with cooking the books rather than correcting them. Even more suspicious, Curric, claiming that the Aid Society shipment was an important job, had volunteered to take over Davon's work with procurement directly and take stock of the goods himself. Curric never did a lick of work he didn't have to. While Davon feared he would be dragged into some illegal scheme and arrested, he decided to stay on to try to ferret out what Curric was up to. Something nefarious was indeed afoot, and the longer he stayed, the worse it seemed. He could certainly go to the Lord High Sheriff and have Curric arrested on any number of minor fraud charges, but there was something bigger going on here. With the Aid Society shipments starting up, the time to press his investigation had come. But for now, the spit and pecan shells needed attention. Obediently, he fetched the broom and filled a bucket full of water from a well outside and headed into the main office. A scowling Kurik sat at the desk, rifling through some papers, mumbling curses under his breath about long winters in Belshire. "I've got to get a look at that Aid Society shipment," Davin thought as he worked the broom. He was sure the nobles were being bilked, but he needed some sort of proof. If there was a problem with the numbers, then someone had gone through and scratched out and fixed them all. The falsified permits Davin had copies of and could prove. The mishandling of funds he could not.
"Watch what you're doing, man!"
Kurik yelled when Davin tried to reach a wayward pecan shell near his employer's boot and inadvertently swiped his leg with the broom bristles.
"You're a useless sack of dead rats. I need to hire me a woman around here."
"Sorry, sir." The thought of having a woman in company with Dales and Kurik sent a shiver of revulsion up Davin's spine. He swept and washed, and after standing to return the broom, Davin glanced at the desk and saw the procurement list for the Aid Society shipment written in Kurik's tortured handwriting right on the edge. Kurik quickly shoved the document inside a book and placed the book on the shelf. Davin memorized its location and returned to work. There was really only one reason Kurik didn't assign the drudgery of writing out a procurement sheet to his clerk. Something dishonest was going on with a shipment. Davin needed that piece of paper. The next morning, he ventured to get it the mundane way. "Mr. Masterson," he said, "the Aid Society shipment leaves tomorrow. Would you like me to check the procurement sheet and make sure it matches with what we have in the warehouse?" His employer turned a sour eye upon him.
"I told you I would take care of the Aid Society shipment. I can't have some idiot of an inexperienced clerk bungling it. You get back in your office. Spring's here and you need to review the accounts of our regular customers so we can get this place in order for the busy season."
At lunch, Davin tried a new tack. He went to the warehouse directly. His duties often required him to confirm that what was to be hauled and that what was in the warehouse were in the quantities agreed upon. The men who worked there were little better than animals and heaped abuse on him with every visit. His large stature kept the abuse verbal, but Davin always kept his saber-toothed daggers with him at all times, tucked beneath his coat. An added benefit of a trip to the warehouse was a stint outdoors in the sunshine and gradually warming breezes. Davin walked slowly, stretching his legs and taking stock of himself. He had expected the sedentary nature of his employment to weaken him, as he had little chance to get outdoors as he customarily did in any season. But oddly, he found the opposite to be true. The longer the winter went on, the more fit he felt. Eyesight, he thought, would fatigue and blur, had sharpened, and he swore he could see better at night than he ever had, though the city lamps might account for that. He slept soundly and rarely felt any exhaustion whatsoever. Thoughts of Frostborn would sometimes set a melancholy cloud upon him, but he felt increasingly at peace with his decision. A spirit unburdened by despair had certainly improved his health. The months and years of emotional torture had worn him down, drowning his ability to concentrate and turning every day into a trudge. For the first time in a long time, he felt sharp, mentally and physically, and if he could procure a job he actually enjoyed, with people less repugnant and frightening, he thought his life might actually approach pleasant. "Once I figure out Kurik's little scheme, I'll seek employment as a caravan guard," he thought. He wanted to get out and travel, though his lack of references might trip him up again. He opened the door to the warehouse and stepped inside. Quinn, the stupidest of the dumb ones, snapped his head around.
"Looks like the box counter's here again, boys."
Davin pulled the door shut behind him, careful not to drop the papers and quill he brought to keep up pretenses. The mongrel group of four men huddled around a crate, littered with dice and crumpled, dirty bills. The ambient smell of strong drink signalled lunchtime at the warehouse, though Davin doubted breakfast was ever a cause for abstinence.
"Hey, Harper," Quinn yelled, "why don't you bring your sissy little Clark arms over here? Come over and roll the bones with us for a while. I need a new coat."
He shuffled by the base, men without comment. Retaliating against their insults only brought more abuse, and corrective instruction was useless. The laughter faded behind him. They had few outgoing shipments as yet, mainly seed grain and corn for farmers. The Aid Society's shipment, the next to leave, would be closest to the loading doors. He wound his way around the sacks of grain and found nothing. The space in front of the doors was completely clear.
Where are the goods? They should be here by now.
From what little Kurik had explained, the nobles' money was spent buying foodstuffs, blankets, clothing and the like, and the shipments went to where reports indicated they were needed. Kurik had received no reports that Davin was aware of, but the ice miners in the north were always talked about as the most unfortunate people in Bittermarch. Two hands thrust themselves between the large double loading doors, and moments later the heavy doors were parted as easily as curtains by the massive Dales. Light flooded over Davin, squinting his eyes. Dales a dark abyss in the midst of the wall of sunshine.
"Flame and flood, what are you doing here, Harper?"
the caravan master demanded. Davin lifted his hands to his eyes and waited for his vision to adjust. Dales advanced toward him, stride slow but purposeful. Behind him, Davin could make out wagons in the street. The goods, perhaps? The wagons carried oblong boxes and reinforced barrels, not what Davin would expect for clothes and foodstuffs. Dales's shadow engulfing him set his thoughts to racing. The caravan master was deliberately blocking his view of the newly arrived shipment.
"Making a count of the seed, Dales,"
Davin answered as calmly and innocently as he could.
"Is that the shipment for the Aid Society? I could inventory it now."
Dale stared a fury at him and Davin swallowed.
"Where do men like him come from? His mother must be a mammoth."
"You git!"
Dales roared, pointing his thick finger toward the door Davin had originally come in. Davin knew protesting was useless and turned to go, threading his way back through the stacks of seed. If Dales told Kurik he had been down in the warehouse counting the seed again, there would be trouble. Davin had completed that job and turned in his report 2 days ago.
"Quinn!"
Dales bellowed, his crushing voice easily filling the massive space.
"When you hear them doors opening, you get your asses over here. You get slow and I'll rip out your spine and use it to whip the rest of your lazy louts. Get the stuff off them wagons."
The strong-backed idiots fled their gambling table and raced to the doors, Quinn bumping Davin on the way by, sending the ink sliding off its perch on the book. Without thinking, Davin caught it right side up in midair with his other hand and grinned. His reflexes were still as good as ever. Once out the warehouse door, he went directly to the office, finding Mr. Masterson absent. The book in which his employer had hidden the manifest waited temptingly on the edge of the table. Peeking outside the door and finding Kurik nowhere on the street, Davin sprinted to the table and flipped through the book's pages, finding the sheet of paper folded up near the middle. He opened it eagerly and scanned it, finding it surprisingly mundane. There were 8 wagon loads, 4 with sacks of pinto beans, 2 with blankets, and 2 with clothing. All the amounts were very standard and expected. Why had Mr. Kurik tried so hard to conceal the list from him? If the wagons outside were the supposed Aid Society goods arriving, then Davin knew why. The wagons being unloaded by Quinn and his gang were not full of pinto beans. The list in the book was the front for what was really being loaded. It was the list they would hand to the permit office. The permit office had the right to inspect every load, but in his months of working for the Boot and Wheel Caravan Company, not one inspector had ever come. There has to be another list somewhere, Davin thought. Or perhaps there wouldn't be. If they were smuggling something illegally, why would they keep a record? Surely a requisition order for the imposter goods had to have been written somewhere. But where to look? He flipped through the book already in his hand, finding nothing. The best evidence, of course, was being unloaded at that very moment by Quinn and his brutes. Time was critical. If he could have an officer inspect the load before it left, then Kurik and Dales would be exposed. Davin had to wait until Mr. Masterson filed the permit so that the fake list of goods would be in play, and then someone needed to see what was in the wagons. Kurik's step on the stair shocked Davin into action. In horror, he realized he'd lost the page where the document had been stored. Shoving it roughly in the middle, he put the book on the table and turned to go back to his office just as Currick came inside.
"What are you doing out here, Harper?" Currick asked grumpily.
Davin sat down. He hated lying. He was horrible at it, even though his entire life had become one. But he knew how to avoid answering Mr. Masterson's questions.
"What was that, Mr. Masterson?" he asked, as offhandedly as possible.
"I said, oh, never mind."
Worked every time. An hour later, Currick left, briefly, and came back, asking Davin to hand over the newly written trip permit request form. As hard as Davin tried, he couldn't read the man. His moods were consistently unpleasant to a fault.
"I'm going for the permit," Currick said. "You keep at the ledgers. I think you'll be working late tonight."
Working late? Something was off, but he couldn't worry about it now. Davin waited for the door to slam shut before executing another fruitless search through his boss's office for a list of the real goods. Conceding defeat, he returned to his worn wooden desk, trying to do actual work while his mind spun. Mr. Masterson returned a while later, permit in hand. The old man slumped into his chair and pulled a flask out of his coat, drinking and humming to himself. Davin exhaled, time crawling by. His mind raced over the possibility that he was getting himself into serious danger. He tapped his pen, his foot, and spent half the day staring out the window until evening fogged it almost too thickly to see through. Outside on the street, the warehouse workers shuffled by in the gathering dark, some jovial, others exhausted and worn out. Drudgery affected people in different ways, it seemed. Those who survived with a shred of happiness somehow found joy in long, dull days, a talent Davin had yet to grasp. Mr. Masterson poked his head in.
"David," he said, tone approaching polite, "I realize I've been a bit heavy-handed about this Aid Society business. How about I buy you a drink and explain the whole thing to you?"
Suspicion bloomed in Davin's mind. This was the first time Currick had ever used his first name, or had invited him to anything. He could hardly refuse, so he nodded, stood and followed Currick out into the chilly evening, finding his employer heading toward the Crooks.
"Are we headed to the Iron Hand?" Davin asked.
The job posting in the window there was what had led him to the Boot and Wheel Caravan Company, and the establishment was close to the dismal apartment he had rented. It was a great place for gossip and scuttlebutt.
"Nah, I know a nice place across the river in Southgate that has some tasty serving wenches."
Davin swallowed, hair prickling on his neck. Currick would not bother walking that far or spend any money on an employee. The missing Samuel Biggs likely walked this same road last fall. Davin steeled himself. This would be his last day at the Boot and Wheel Caravan Company, one way or another. His senses sharpened and focused, the night springing to life. He remembered the thin knife that Currick always carried with him for peeling oranges, and apparently a clerk or two. Davin turned to Currick.
"Do you mind if we stop by my apartment? It's on the way and I'd like to change my coat for something a little more festive. For the ladies."
Now Currick grimaced.
"Just be quick about it."
A few minutes later, they found Sparks Lane and Davin turned down the alley that led to his poor apartment, Currick walking casually behind and whistling to himself. Every nerve on edge, Davin approached his door and inserted the key in the lock. Currick's boot scraped on the cobbles, the heat of his employer's sour breath on the back of his neck.